This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Does it really matter? Does the Epstein list matter? Does the whole issue concerning Jeffrey Epstein matter? And if so, why does it matter? Should it matter to you? Should it matter to me? Should it matter to the American people? Should it matter to Democrats? Should it matter to Republicans? Should it matter to Christians? To whom does it matter? And why does it matter? During the 2024 presidential campaign, Donald Trump tapped into the energy behind those calling for a release of the Epstein list to help propel him to the White House. Multiple times during the campaign, Trump said he would release the list. Then in early September 2024, for instance, he stated he'd have no problem with releasing the Epstein list. On October 22, 2024, J.D. Vance said, "We need to release the Epstein list." Before the election, both Kash Patel and Dan Bongino, who became Trump's FBI director and deputy director, respectively, stated many times that there was an Epstein list being used to manipulate government officials to this day, and that the list needed to be released. And, of course, U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi, in February of this year, stated that the list was sitting on my desk right now to review. Yet now we're told by Bondi, Patel, and Bongino that there actually is no such list and that Epstein definitely committed suicide. Trump actually even went further, attacking a reporter for even asking about Epstein, and then posted a rambling thing on Truth Social suggesting that the whole Epstein conspiracy theory was something made up by liberals, comparing it to the Russian hoax. He ended by saying that Epstein was somebody nobody cares about. Is that true? And if so, why did he say that? Why did Mr. Trump say Epstein is somebody no one cares about? Maybe it's because he doesn't want anybody to care about it. But I'm sorry, Mr. President, but a lot of Americans do care about the possibility of being led by pedophiles and being a puppet in a foreign government. And it's clear that a lot of people care, in spite of what you say. So, today on Viewpoint, we're going to do yet another program concerning this matter. Was the whole Epstein case a big nothing burger that got a lot of right-wingers dried up without a cause? Or does this mean the Epstein situation is so deeply embedded in our government that Trump and his team also were beholden to it? Or just wanted to avoid it, thinking that somehow it would divert from all the other things that he's trying to do? Well, here's the truth. I don't know, and you don't know either. I don't know, and you don't know either. Do you think that Trump or someone close to him is implicated in the Epstein list? Or that someone is implicated who is important to Trump's goals? And that's why he decided to quash the interest in Epstein among his base? We don't know. We don't know what the motives are. But one thing is for certain, Trump miscalculated. While he has historically been, you might say, masterful in both understanding and manipulating his base, this time it didn't work. Too many people associated with Trump, as well as Trump himself, had whipped up the base for years with the promise of releasing the Epstein list, and we can't just drop the subject, no matter how much Trump or anyone else wants that to happen. And in fact, it's not happening. Over the past week, we have seen this move gradually over time to the point where now it's even deepening. Now it's not just about Trump. Now it's not just about Epstein. Now it's even about Barack Obama and the so-called Russian hoax. In other words, the whole plan and program of deception has grown even more deeply over the past week. This very day, Tulsi Gabbard, head of the Department of the DNI, came out with a long statement in public, reading and quoting from documents that have been obtained, showing that indeed Barack Obama took the lead as the president of the United States at that time to coordinate his security people, intelligence people, to embrace a total fabrication, a lie, in order to try to undermine the election of Donald Trump. He had just been elected, to undermine his entire program, his entire election with the American people. In other words, to render the vote of the American people moot. That's what he did. And Tulsi Gabbard now has come out with the proof of it, and it has been directed now to the Department of Justice. In addition to that, the MLK, Martin Luther King, hidden documents now have been ordered released, declassified. In addition to that, the JFK documents, the assassination of President Kennedy, have been ordered released. Why have they all been kept in capsules for 50 years? What is it that American people couldn't handle? What was being hidden and why? And are we facing the same thing, deja vu, all over again with Epstein? Apparently, the American people have had enough, of deception, have had enough of these pretenses by the government, purportedly looking out for the welfare of the American people, when in fact, they were looking out for their own protection. So today on Viewpoint, we move back to the matter of Jeffrey Epstein. This is happening right in front of us. Was Epstein somebody nobody cares about, as Donald Trump said? And is there anybody that dare call what's happened with Barack Obama treason? Well, we're not going to get into the matter of treason today so much, but I'm asking the question, what is it? Why is it that treasonous convictions have been so slim throughout American history? Are we now looking at a situation where treason was actually committed right in front of our eyes to deceive the American people and to destroy an entire election and a presidency? We're going to have to wait and see. But we're introducing this because it's all part, all of this is part of a much bigger picture. And that is the seeming willingness of the United States government for a very long period of time to hide truth from the American people. So, when we get back, we're going to go back to the recording, the declaration that was made by Donald Trump's personal attorney in February 27th, 2025. What did she say, and why did she say it? We'll be back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
This is not a political muckraking program. Never has been and never will be. We're confronting the deepest issues of America's heart and home from God's eternal perspective. In other words, our reason for doing what we're doing has relatively little to do with politics and everything to do with spiritual purity in our country and as the foundation for God's blessing in the land of the free that's increasingly becoming only the home of the brave. That's the reason we do what we do. We're discipling for destiny here on this program, teaching people to obey everything that God has commanded and to help us to understand what that looks like, what that means in a rough and tumble world in which there is relatively little true faith. Because faith is a long obedience in the same direction, and the word obey has fallen on very, very hard times in our country, just like the cross. And so we deal with those issues. We confront them. We confront the issues of the heart, the issues of the mind. Jesus said that it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. In fact, he said that by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So if, in fact, a government leader is lying to us, is purposely lying to us, they're going to be judged. Now, you may not judge them, or you might judge them in your vote at the ballot box. That's really the only way we have to judge these leaders, unless they're brought before a tribunal through a justice system. But in reality, what we say is important. The words of our mouth are critically important. The words coming out of the mouth of a politician are critically important. You may think and say, and maybe there's a lot of truth in it, that if a politician opens his mouth, you can just expect that he's lying. That's the common joke these days, if you can call that a joke. But in reality, God holds a politician to the same standard as a pastor. And God holds a pastor to the same standard as a politician, or as a prophet, or as a common person on Main Street. Words matter. Words are critically important. And we dare not speak casually or lightly, because there is a record that's being had. Now, you may not think of it that way, and it might be hard to think of it that way, but as a trial lawyer, you go before the court, and there sitting before the court very quietly is a court reporter. Now, a court reporter is not one that's going to the news media with information. A court reporter is one who is taking down everything that's being said by judge, lawyers, witnesses, and so on in the courtroom, so that a memorial or transcript can be created to go back and review what was actually said. So oftentimes you will know a jury asks when deliberating, we would like to hear the testimony or read the testimony of a certain witness. Why? Because they want to clarify what was actually said. That's a good thing. But do you know what? God records it all. He's infinite, omniscient, omnipresent. He even knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart. Did you know that? The Bible says so. And his word is such that it discerns even the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And that's why a lot of people don't want to read it. They don't want to read it because it's going to discern the thoughts and the intents of their heart. And they think they can hide from God because they can claim, well, I didn't know. It doesn't matter whether you knew. You have the word of God. If you decided not to go to it, if you decided not to read it, if you decide not to obey it, that's your problem. That's not God's problem. It's yours. You're put on notice. You have due process. The word was made available to you, and you did not choose to follow it. Now, that being the case, speaking about words, you see, you may wonder, well, what does this have to do with the Epstein thing? And what does this have to do with the Obama presidency, in which now Tulsi Gabbard says, you know what? They intentionally deceived America. And they did it intentionally to undermine the will of the American people. What do you call that? I'm just throwing that out. What would you call that? It's being presented as if it is absolute, unmitigated, documented fact. And so Tulsi Gabbard goes before the country today and actually openly, I heard a long portion of her declaration today. Pretty convincing. No trial yet. But it's setting off another one of these signals in our country that our government cannot be trusted. And trust is at the very heart of God's desire for us with regard to him and his desire for us with regard to those that we conduct ourselves with, whether it be our husbands and wives, whether it be our children, whether it be our congregations, our neighbors. Trust is critical for us to be able to fulfill God's purposes on the planet. But trust is in a difficult place these days, just like the cross, just like the word obey. Trust is in deep trouble in our country. So Donald Trump now, President Donald Trump, has come to the realization, having been convinced by, I'm not sure who, having been convinced that people really do care about this issue of Epstein, and that there's a reason why they care, and he's finally coming to realize, as his poll numbers plummeted rapidly, that, hey, while he may not care all that much and having his reasons for not caring, nevertheless, millions of people do. And so he's decided, okay, we're going to release all the documents. We're going to release everything. Total transparency. But then he says we're going to release credible documents. Well, using the word credible, he modified the word all. So who's going to determine whether the documents are credible? You see, if we don't listen carefully to what people say, we can be deceived. Another word would be relevant. We're going to release all relevant documents. Relevant to whom? And relevant for what purpose? You see, people, that's exactly how things are kept out from our knowledge and understanding. That's exactly how things are kept away from a jury, so that you cannot really discern the truth, because people don't want the truth actually discerned. So the truth right now is, I don't know, and you don't know either, what all the truth really is concerning Epstein. The same would be true with regard to the Obama issue and those in his Security Council, about five or six of them, who conspired together, according to Tulsi Gabbard, they actually conspired together to undermine and defeat the vote of the American people. Conspire. That's no conspiracy theory, friends. That's a conspiratorial fact. But people want to use the word conspiracy theory in order to hide or obfuscate from ever dealing with anything that might actually be rooted in truth. So if they call it, it's like name calling. Conspiracy. Oh, well, you don't have to consider that. That's conspiracy theory. That's an inappropriate use of the words conspiracy theory. Unless actually it is a conspiracy theory, and very few conspiracy theories are, because they're not conspiracy theories at all. They're actually based on some nugget of truth or facts that have to be discerned to determine whether there's any truth there. So the action by the Obama administration to declare that Russia was seeking to undermine and overturn the election in 2016 was, in fact, not just a conspiracy theory. It was a conspiracy to do that. And that's where the problem is. Now, going back to the matter of words, let us listen now again to Alina Habib, who was Trump's attorney. And let me give you a little background on this. I say background, it would be foreground, it would be bringing it up to date. She was appointed by President Trump to be an appellate judge, to be a district judge or appellate judge. She was filling in for someone else who either died or retired or whatever. Well, the Obama judges, appointed judges, conspired or confederated together to remove her from office. And they just did. They just removed her from office because they didn't like the fact that she had been Trump's attorney. So much for justice. Then a new one was appointed by these judges, and Pam Bondi, who is the Attorney General of the United States, immediately fired the new one. Why? Because she was going to confront the very problem that is plaguing America, and that's the politicization of the judiciary by the Democrat Party. That's exactly what happened. So it remains to be seen now what's going to happen with regard to Alina Habib. On the other hand, she went on record on February 27th, 2025, concerning the Epstein matter. Here again is what she said.
Jeffrey Epstein files, we're told, are to be imminently unleashed, and already we saw the Attorney General Pam Bondi say that it's the scale of what happened is far worse than anyone realized. Well over 200, maybe 250 victims, and that we're going to get information either later today or tomorrow from these files. What can you tell me about that?
I believe it will be today. I was just with, I saw Pam and Cash in the White House just before coming on your show, and I can tell you that I haven't been privy to it yet, but I know it is coming out. They will be taking portions of it. We have to be patient. And I said this last night at a dinner with some media, and I said, I think America needs to remember one thing. We are going to be promises made, promises kept. But when you're dealing with victims, and by the way, this is a perfect example of a case that was vetted, that went through trial, that had testimony, and was prosecuted the right way. I don't preemptively attack. That's just not the way I operate. But in this case, in Epstein's case, it is incredibly disturbing.
All right, it's incredibly disturbing. We're not finished yet. But before we go into this first break, or second break, rather, I want to focus on what she said. She said this is incredibly disturbing. What's disturbing? What's disturbing is the apparent facts that are disclosing a problem that the America that was hidden from the American people concerning the matter of Jeffrey Epstein. In other words, there was no accountability. There was no transparency. Going all the way back to the Obama administration, when all of this broke through, there were reasons why it was hidden. And then you have the whole issue concerning whether or not Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide in the jail that was supposed to be so closely guarded, and he was supposed to be under a suicide watch. And the missing minute or 90 seconds in the tape that supposedly was monitoring the situation, and the absence of the very people who were supposed to be there and taking them off the job at the point. I mean, there's so many things. What are we supposed to believe? We'll be back.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries.
on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
Again, we're talking about the matter of Epstein here today on Viewpoint. It's continuing to unravel or come together, however you want to look at it. With every day that passes, more revelations are being made. More decisions have been made by the Trump administration. Donald Trump says, release all the documents. Release them. Even if they're classified. We'll declassify them, we'll release them. But originally he said relevant or what? What was the other term? Anyway, relevant documents, those that we deem to be relevant. Who deems them to be relevant? Shouldn't they just all come in? Shouldn't we just let them all come in? And now the matter has gone before a district judge appointed by Mr. Obama. He is going to decide whether or not documents will come in, what documents will be released, and why others will not be released, and how much of what is released is going to be redacted. And a judge appointed by Obama is going to make that decision. On what basis? Well, on a basis relative to his own viewpoints. You see, viewpoint determines destiny. And if we don't just let it all come in, then we're going to continue to have this problem of questioning what was left out and why. Let me give you an illustration as to how this works. In Texas, about 6 to 9 months ago, one of the most prominent pastors in America was indicted. He was indicted because of a situation where he was involved sexually with a young lady much earlier in his ministry, in the early days of his ministry. Now, wherein lay the big problem here? The big problem was it was hidden. It was hidden within his congregation. It was hidden within the leadership in his congregation. And it continued to be hidden so that over time now, a whole series of leaders from that congregation, which is a mega, mega, mega church, about 30,000, numerous leaders have progressively been released or fired. Why? Because they knew what was going on and didn't report it, didn't make it known. In other words, to hide the issue is oftentimes worse than if you came out and just made everything clear. It's you just wait for the next shoe to fall. That happened yet with another leader there in Texas. Very prominent, large congregation, well-respected television program. Still to this very day, refuses to identify what it was that actually caused his downfall. It's not known. It's hidden. Here's what Jesus said. That which is hidden will ultimately be shouted from the housetops. In other words, you can run, but you can't necessarily hide. You can hide for a period of time. When the government seals off all the records from the president, the JFK assassination, for 50 years, when the government seals off all the investigative records concerning the Martin Luther King assassination, when the government seals off the records concerning the Robert Kennedy assassination, and so on, why? Why didn't the truth come out? Why wasn't it made apparent? There are reasons, friends, and that's the problem. There are reasons. And those reasons have plagued the American people and our history since 1963. I was a freshman in college in the fall of 1963 when Kennedy was assassinated. I'll never forget it. Very memorable. That's a long time ago, 1963. And yet the records have been all locked up, unavailable to be seen by a people who supposedly are part of a democratic republic. Not. Do you know what's going to happen in the end of time? Everything that you and I have said and done is going to be flashed before us because of the eternal digital record that God has maintained of our lives. Everything. And it ain't going to be pretty. Aren't you glad that there's mercy with God? Aren't you glad that if we would confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness that we've committed up till that time when we confess? Aren't you glad? Because without the mercy of God, we're dead meat, friends. There's a judgment on us. It's a death penalty. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, all of these things come together. If we really look at it this way, it's not just about politics. In fact, politics is incidental. Politics is way downstream from the real issue here. The real issue is truth and its foundation for trust. We talked about that a week ago. The trust quotient. That's what's really at stake here. And Donald Trump missed the point big time. He's such a pragmatist. He wants to get things done. We're glad that he does. That's why he was hired. But you can't just run roughshod over things that really matter to gird up the necessary truth and trust that people rely upon when you're getting things done. Otherwise, you've compromised everything that you're doing. And finally, he began to see, oh, wow, maybe people do care. Maybe they care more than I do, but maybe they care. Maybe I should care more. So let's listen to the balance of Alina Habib on February 27th, 2025, in her interview with Piers Morgan.
Flight logs, we have information, names, that will come out.
Is it going to be shocking?
I don't see how it's not shocking that there were so many individuals that were hidden and kept secret and not been held accountable. Let's talk about the reverse. I believe in accountability, so you have to now go through your process. Now, I won't say they're guilty until they go through their time in court. But again, now it's time for accountability.
Now perhaps you understand why the Democrat-appointed judges, those appointed by Barack Obama, decided to get rid of this woman, Alina Habib, because they were concerned that she might affect one of the members of Congress currently Why is that? Because the head of the Democrat Party, the Democrats in the House of Representatives, Hakeem Jeffries, lobbied these judges to kick out Elena Habib because he was afraid that she would bring charges and actually had brought charges and was participant in the case that was brought against the Democrat congressman for attacking ICE agents. And he didn't like it. This is justice? You've got to be kidding me. This is not justice. This is the epitome of the perversion of justice and political favors and twisting and turning and causing justice to hang from a high wire in front of the American people as if somehow it itself is the culprit. Hakeem Jeffries, shame on you. Shame on you. He ought to be brought to justice himself. In fact, as a result of that, I believe he is going to be brought before the Ethics Committee of the House. And should be. And he should be censored profoundly for what he did to pervert justice. These things all matter, my friends. Truth matters. And all of this now is coming out in spades, so to speak. Elena Habib says, there were hundreds of these people that were involved with Epstein. How could this not have huge consequences? There must be accountability. But who's going to try to protect the people that were involved, those that are still living, the people with power, the people with money, the people who are friends of the this person and that politician? Who is going to actually bring about justice and accountability? The word accountability means justice in this instance. Everybody's afraid. Even Fox News has been afraid to deal with this issue. It was deemed too sensitive, too volatile. Truth is too volatile. Indeed, it can be. Because Jesus said, I came to bear witness to the truth. And was mocked by Pontius Pilate saying, what? What is truth? It's just something we use, not something we believe. We'll be back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Again, we're talking for the most part about the Epstein situation and how it is unfolding as we speak. But as it is unfolding, there are other major issues that are coming to fore, that are testing, they're coming to fore to test the trust of the American people. And the trust of the American people is tested by whether or not our leaders will tell the truth. Now, most recently, concerning Epstein, the Congress has actually acted to subpoena Ghislaine Maxwell, who was, shall we say, the right hand of Jeffrey Epstein, and has been sentenced to prison for 20 years. Well, to a certain extent, she just became the surrogate for Epstein because supposedly he killed himself, so we're going to take it out on Ghislaine Maxwell. That's really what happened. On the other hand, now, there is a realization that Ghislaine Maxwell may hold the key or the keys to the unveiling, the apocalypse, the unveiling of everything that needs to be known concerning the Epstein matter that has been hidden. So Congress has said, we're going to subpoena you. On the other hand, whether or not she is going to be, Alan Dershowitz, the attorney, famous attorney, said just yesterday, Ghislaine Maxwell should be, her sentence should be commuted by President Trump. In other words, cut off at its present level. In other words, she should be, the government should be satisfied with time served, and she should be given immunity for anything further she says, so that there will be no inhibition for the truth to come out. That's a pretty smart thing for Mr. Dershowitz to say. I think that's what should happen. I really do. Somehow, we need to get to the truth. Who is it that is being hidden? If anyone, we don't know. You don't know. We can surmise, and as we say, nature abhors a vacuum. And that vacuum of truth will be filled by suspicion and all kinds of other thoughts and opinions, viewpoints, to try to fit in and make sense out of the situation. We need the cleansing of truth. Truth is like pouring peroxide on a wound. You look at what happens when you pour that hydrogen peroxide on a wound, and it kind of fizzes up. You watch it, and it's pretty interesting. It fizzes up, and you can see it's doing something. When you put absolute truth on top of that which is hidden, that which is deceived and deceptive and so on, it kind of fizzes up, and it causes people around to realize, wow, something's happening here. We need that. Now, let's listen to the rest of what Alina Habib said on February 27th in her interview with Piers Morgan.
So many years, Piers, in this country, many investigations, subpoenas, testimonies in Congress, et cetera, et cetera. But there's a general frustration with accountability. We take it halfway. We don't take it home. And I really believe that now with Cash and Pam, there will be accountability.
And we know that only one person so far has actually gone to prison over that whole scandal. It was Ghislaine Maxwell, the former lover of Jeffrey Epstein. No man so far has actually been put in prison as a result of what happened. Do you think by releasing information from these files, we are likely to see criminal actions being taken?
Absolutely.
Really?
I think it would be negligent for us not to. You have to hold individuals who are indeed rapists accountable. We have to have them tried, in my opinion. And I do believe in that. You know, nobody should be just dismissed. You have to have your time in court and your case will be heard. But to hide lists, to protect political friends, all of that, we don't have time for that.
There it is. Now, can you imagine then why this group of judges were persuaded by Joaquin Jeffries to kick this woman, Alina Habib, out of the judiciary? They're afraid. They're afraid of what would come out if she remained in the judiciary. And they're going to control it all. They do not want truth to come out. They're using their robes, their judicial robes, to hide truth from the American people for political power, perks, and position. So you see, the echoing consequences of our hiding, not willing to release documents to get it all cleaned out, to clean out the hidden corners, the failure to do that is actually inducing even greater distrust in our system of government. Are we really a democratic republic? Really? When the Democrat Party and Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and all of those voices, including Kamala Harris, all were saying Republicans are against democracy and we've got to protect our democracy. Do you realize what they were really saying? We're the ones that are against the democracy. We're trying to control, and we're going to point the finger at them. We're going to project our blame on them so that we can continue to get by doing what we're doing to undermine the American Republic. I'm sorry to have to put it so bluntly. That's a spiritual issue, friends. It has political ramifications, but the real issue is not political. Just like whether or not our laws are going to protect and create a so-called right of homosexual or same-sex marriage. That's not political. That's spiritual. It's made political, but it's not political at its root. So when our spiritual condition fails, so do our politics. Our politics always follow the trajectory of our failed spiritual condition. Always. The same has been true with regard to the matter of divorce. When Ronald Reagan, a professing Christian back in 1968 as governor of California, signed the No-Fault Divorce Act. He thought he was doing something good. He really did. He thought it was going to be less contentious, that people were going to divorce anyway, so it'll make it less contentious and so on. But after he saw the effects of it, he said it was the worst thing he had ever done. The worst bill he had ever, ever signed. Because he realized that the spiritual, the pulling the rug out from under the spiritual principle of truth had consequences that would echo across not only California, but the whole nation. And they did. I was there in California at that time. I was teaching school in Baldwin Park at that time. I was on my way to law school at that time. I began the practice of law in 1975 in the largest family law courts of the country, the Los Angeles Superior Court System, and saw the echoing consequences of this problem. See, it's not just about Epstein. It's not just about RFK. It's not just about JFK. It's not just about MLK. All of those issues have their roots in a spiritual foundation that has been broken down. We valued hiding truth over revealing truth. Now, let's wrap it up this way. The last book of the Bible is called the Apocalypse. That's what it's called, the Apocalypse of Jesus Christ. The word apocalypse means unveiling. And that's why it took on the name Revelation, or the revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveiling. So, Jesus is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And what the book of Revelation does, it unveils what that truth is going to look like in the final days of world history. How it's going to play out. That it isn't all going to be peaches and cream, and it's not going to be, well, that's just the way it is. Que sera, sera. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. No. There are consequences. Judgment is coming. And the one who is going to judge the quick and the dead is Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. That's what the Bible says from the Old Testament on through the New Testament. Jesus is the judge. So in the 1970s, when they had that that phrase, here come to judge, yeah, here come to judge, his name is Jesus. Jesus is the companion and friend of sinners today, but he's going to be the judge of sinners tomorrow. And that's what we don't realize. Even in our churches, we just don't quite get it, that there's going to be a reckoning. Now, we say that we want a reckoning, that is, people held accountable, but do we really? Because when we say that, we're admitting that the failure of truth has consequences. It has consequences in our families. It has consequences in our churches. It has consequences in our courts, in our schools, in our government, everywhere. And the absence of truth as the, shall we say, the guiding principle of our country has caused such a breakdown of trust that our entire government and way of life is at risk. So when Mr. Trump says nobody cares about Epstein, he was wrong. We care about this because it goes to the very essence of truth and trust. When trust is lost, everything's gone. You have no more country. And you get revolution. Crisis Magazine came out with a piece. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Why does all this matter? Obviously, it's not good to be lied to and gaslighted by our institutions simply because the truth is superior to a lie. But the constant and bald-faced lies also lead to a total loss of trust in anything someone in authority says. And even when they're telling the truth, we suspect they're lying. And a society simply cannot function like this for very long. Sadly, the most likely path becomes revolution. I hope we don't get there. I hope we don't go there, but there are many who are trying to get us there. It's time for those who profess the name of Christ. That's where judgment begins. Judgment's going to begin at the house of God, and that's where the correction of this issue must begin, in our hearts, in our minds. And you see, that's what makes this program radically different than other issues-oriented programs, because God is pointing his finger at us, if my people. Thanks for joining us. Become a partner, friends. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries. Do it today. Don't delay. Get a copy of Seduction of the Saints right there on our website. $15 or put it in your hands. It'll be very helpful.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.